number two was completed by the Dragon spacecraft, the teams both here in Houston and in Hawthorne reporting everything is as expected.
If successful, Dragon will become the first U.S. spacecraft to dock at the space station since the shuttles were retired. European Union leaders have wrapped up a summit without really coming up with a concrete step to fix its financial crisis. Asian and European stocks are down on the news. Lady Gaga causing trouble in Bangkok, tweeting that she wants to shop for a faux Rolex, with some Thai fans calling the comment offensive, insulting, and bad for the country's image. This is NBC News Radio. A UN-appointed panel of human rights experts says it has documented cases of unlawful killings, torture, and abuses by Syrian government forces and anti-government armed groups. Here's NBC's Scott Walterman with more.
The findings are from members of the Independent International Commission of Inquiry on Syria. They also say anti-government armed troops have killed army and security forces and suspected informers who they've captured.
Egyptians are voting on the second day of presidential elections there. So far, no major problems have been reported. Envoys from Iran and six world powers have resumed talks over Tehran's nuclear program. It's the second day of talks. And there are smoke-free bars, parks, and even college campuses. But it looks like New Zealand is going for broke, a smoke-free country. The government announced a 40% hike in tobacco taxes. That'll be an average of $15 a pack. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Here's an email Walmart got the other day.
Dear Walmart, I was introduced to Project Made Simple. I was blown away. They come with simple steps and tools you need. My favorite project is painting, but I hadn't considered painting our front door. The video helped me gather everything I would need. Walmart offers a great selection of paint, a mecca for everything DIY. Regards, Amanda Powell, Orlando.
FYI, DIY means do it yourself. And you can too with everything you need to paint your front door, like Litton 2-in-1 Paint and Primer and Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. See for yourself, only at Walmart.
A stalwart of the personal computer experience many have left behind for tablets soon could be coming to tablets. Reports say versions of Microsoft Office for iPad and Android could be available by the fall. Hope for the best and plan for the worst. It's good advice, and Europe is taking it. A dinner attended by European Union leaders, which lasted 6 hours, included the start of contingency plans in case Greece quits the Eurozone currency bloc. As it prepares for that possibility, leaders also are publicly calling on Greece to stick with austerity and with reforms demanded under its bailout program. European stock markets started strong today, but have pulled back after reports showing manufacturing activity is weakening. Manufacturing will be on the minds of U.S. investors as well. This morning, we get the government's measure of durable goods orders for April, measuring demand for a wide range of big-ticket items, from appliances to Zambonis. Ahead of that, S&P futures are down a half point, NASDAQ futures down about one. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Peter, Dr. Morisi, go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Don't mind me. I'll just sit here quietly while you drive. Hey, so how many miles you got on this baby? Got a lot, huh? I'll be quiet. You know what doesn't have six-figure mileage on it? Every Honda-certified used car. Yep, each is a well-maintained late-model Honda. Each gets a grueling 150-point inspection, too. And I'll stop talking. Hey, this is where I get out anyway. So, yeah, Honda-certified used cars. Next best thing to new. Just saying.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this 24th day of May. That's the Thursday, the 24th day of May, 2012. And I hope you are all well. I hope you are all well. This is actually our last show for the week. We are going to be taking tomorrow and Monday off, so we've got a nice 4-day weekend coming our way. I plan to spend tomorrow working my behind off so that I can actually have a 3-day weekend. Well, 2.5 days, because we obviously have to prepare for Tuesday's show, but I'll take it. This just gives me a little extra time. And I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, I hope you're all well. I want to thank the Wayne County Black Caucus for having me out to speak to them last night. Had a wonderful time with them, a full room. They were very gracious and accommodating and allowed me to ramble on and on and on. And I was really grateful to all the people that I met and just, you know, camaraderie. As much as I love doing what I do from 6 to 9 o'clock every morning, it's that stuff really outside the studio that really turns me on. I really enjoy speaking at these events and getting to know people, and it's just a lot of fun. And it really is. So anyway, I want to thank everybody there, and I had a wonderful time and enjoyed being there. And what was really interesting is there are people of all ages. There was a 15-year-old young man there who was quite engaged in what was going on. And they, quote-unquote, spared me sitting through candidates. Of course, it's that time of year where candidates show up to all these meetings and want to be heard. They have a right to be heard. That's actually how you get elected. That's the door-to-door stuff that's showing up at these different kinds of meetings throughout your district and or your territory, if you will. And so lots of candidates there last night as well. But it was a really wonderful time, and I'm glad that I had a chance to get out there. I want to thank Tom in Detroit, who was the one that invited me and had a great time. And I think they enjoyed what I had to say. Anyway, let's take a look at what we've got going on today. The International President of the United Steelworkers Union, Leo Gerard, will be with us just after 7 o'clock to talk about President Obama, why we need to be focusing on his record, and why we need to also focus on the record of Mitt Romney. We don't do enough. Truly, we don't do enough, and that change is starting today, looking at the national election, and we're certainly going to do that. In high fashion, Leo Gerard's a huge get, by the way. You're going to love him. Reverend Alexander Bullock will be with us from Rainbow Push Coalition to talk about a couple different events, one of them a funeral, the other an opportunity, and we'll get to all that information. Bartosz Kumar will be with us from Occupy Detroit as we focus in on mortgage fraud and what we can do to maybe get some of the settlement money that is floating around out there. And by the way, there's more to come. Will it be enough? Kevin Moore joins us at 8 o'clock. We do have time here and there for open lines. And so as we get ready to do this Thursday program, let us do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Approval. Approval is our first word today. It's an interesting word because approval just means somebody has to agree, right? If you have somebody's approval, it's they're agreeing that whatever it, quote unquote, is something that is receiving favor. And people agree with it. Does that make it correct? Does that make it right? Does it make it wrong? That's a really interesting concept, is it not? When we think of approval, we often think of it in a positive way, and it mostly is a very positive thing. Approval is a very positive thing. But, you know, I'll go back to the end of the show yesterday when we talked about that article that said Fox News viewers were literally dumber than people that didn't watch the news at all. When you approve of something, that doesn't necessarily mean it's based on fact, does it? And that really is the point. When we think about approval, we always put a positive spin on it. But again, I'm trying to focus you all on thinking beyond the first line of defense. That's really what I've been trying to do here the last week or so. Getting you to truly understand the critical nature of not accepting what is given to you as God's honest truth. And as we learned with the Wall Street Journal example earlier this week, what is considered to be a pristine news source perpetuates a birther story that's just crazy, right? Just crazy. Approval. Sure, it's a positive thing, and we all want it. We seek it out. Some people fight for it. But is approval enough? And just hearing that something has that seal of approval, from advertising to everything in between, you need to start asking yourself this question. Who's doing the approving? And that is today's first word. All right, disappointing night for my Tigers last night. National Sports Writer writes yesterday that Cleveland may and indeed be the better of the two teams. And kind of hard not to agree with that after the result of the last two games in Cleveland. Jeff, really disappointing performance last night all the way around.
Well, I wouldn't say all the way. There's Fister pitched pretty well. He pitched well enough to get a win if his team would do something for him. But I don't agree with the national writer at all. I mean, I still look at Cleveland and think, I don't know if it's the same article, but I read an article that said, take the top five off of Detroit and the bottom 20, he would take Cleveland over, Cleveland's bottom 20 over Detroit's. And I think, you know, that you might have a better case for, but I still think I lean towards Detroit. And it's based on what's happened in the past. Last year, the first series against Cleveland, the Tigers were four and a half games down. And we went into that series thinking, all right, first play Cleveland, down 4.5 games. Man, the Tigers need to win 2 out of 3 here, right? They lost all three in Cleveland. They went down 7.5 games last year in the first season in series against Cleveland. Do you know what their record was the rest of the way out against Cleveland? 12-3.
Okay.
So, and again, after 50 games last year, the Tigers were 25-25. So, you know, yeah, you can say, well, we can only talk about what's at hand right now. Cleveland won the last two games. But I tend to look at the Tigers and think, I see a lot of underachieving, which means eventually it'll catch up. I mean, they'll get their stuff together and
start playing
better.
What do you think the problem is right now? I mean, you're right. They are. I think they're horribly underachieving, and I would agree with you that I think the Tigers will win their division. But what is it right now? I mean, they just don't. Last night, bases are loaded twice. They don't score one run on that scenario. I mean, that's the hallmark of a bad team, not a good team. So what's going on?
They're scratching. I mean, think about when they had the bases loaded. It's not. Not only did the job not get done, but they're arguing like hell over a fourth ball call. Like, they wanted a bases-loaded walk. And when it didn't happen, then Cabrera grounds out and, you know, and ends the threat, I suppose. But they're more concerned about arguing about something that didn't happen than they are about getting the job done. And that's because it's not just hitting. I mean, it is hitting, but it's also, you know, the fact that you get into situations late in the game where, you know, your bullpen, I don't want to say lets you down, but gets you into a situation where something bad can happen. Of course, then Prince Fielder throws the ball errantly towards Alex Avila, and that lets a couple of runs score. So it's every aspect is failing now because they're scrambling. Until you start, and I thought maybe the Avila hit on Sunday against the Pirates would have, and then he leads off this series with a home run that I thought would hold up, but it hasn't. Something has got to spark them where they go off on a run, and I don't know what that is right now.
We'll just have to continue to wait this out because we don't have a choice. It would seem to me that as they work their way through the next few weeks, they'll be home, I believe it's next weekend. And they're in the middle of a really long road trip as well. But they'll be home next weekend where they play the Yankees and Cleveland in a six-game series. And, you know, again, at this point in the season, you know, you put a little winning streak together, and all of a sudden you're right back into the thick of things. So nothing that we need to be ultimately too terribly concerned about. It's just, it's really difficult to, because I, you know, the games are on after, while I'm sleeping, unfortunately. It's really tough for me personally, Jeff, to get up in the morning and just see lose, lose, lose. And they haven't won back-to-back games since the 17th of April, 16th and 17th of April. That's a long time.
And the weirdest part about that is it's not the pitching, you know? I mean, like, you've got Pfister, Verlander, Scherzer's pitching better. I mean, Porcello's kind of letting you down a little bit, and Smiley pitches well. I mean, if Porcello's the one guy who you have to worry about, there's four guys out there that should be pitching pretty well, and well enough to get you a win. So it's, you know, I would say it's the other aspect. The funny thing about, you know, you mentioned the Yankees are coming in, but they're the Yankees in Boston are struggling too. So
the last place Yankees.
Well, Boston's in last place, but the Yankees are down in the bottom two as well.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll do that. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. On Twitter @TonyTrupiano. A quick break. We'll come back and continue with First Shift right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
It's a busy morning out on the road so far. Accident blocking your left two lanes. I-696 westbound before Coolidge. Also an accident blocking your left two lanes. I-94 eastbound at Van Dyke. And traffic lights not working. Mound Road at 12 Mile Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend expected to be sunny in the mid-80s. And it's currently 59 degrees. Degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid
these stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in the L.A. Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed, 22 minutes after 6 o'clock as we continue Republican Watch. That's right, Republican Watch. I decided a few days ago to start focusing on the atrocities that we call Republicanism here in the state of Michigan and at the national level, and really focusing in on the imbecilic behavior of audience members, either by interacting with the show, via email, Facebook, calling, whatever the case may be. And it seems that the more I do this, the more inflamed some of you become, which is really kind of funny. It's interesting because there are a handful, maybe 12 or 14 email addresses that I have programmed my email client to ignore. So if you send me an email, it ends up in basically a spam filter for all intents and purposes. So I don't actually see it. Now, why did I do that? Because I really don't care what you have to say. So the majority of you that I basically blocked from getting through to my inbox have no clue, of course. You don't know that. So you continue to write me. The only reason I know that is every, I don't know, month, maybe 6 weeks or so, I go in there and just delete them all. Sometimes I don't even look at them, but I do check it because sometimes ones that I really do want to see, although it doesn't happen very often, end up in that filter. And as a result of that, I don't want to miss anything. So I'll just go to make sure all the names. I don't necessarily, in fact, I rarely read the emails. I just make sure that all the names that are in there, email addresses are in there, are supposed to be in there. Then I just delete it and move on. Just part of what I do. But I've wondered from time to time, those of you that continue to write me, and some of you write me daily and sometimes multiple times a day. And this is actually kind of funny. When I say multiple times a day, I mean like three or four or five or even six times a day. When you never get a response from me, what do you think you're accomplishing? Just curious. I mean, this can continue to send the emails. I could care less. I'm not seeing them. I don't see them. I don't read them. And every now and then I might, you know, go grab one just for grins and whatever. But you know, the reality is I don't have time. I don't have time for the emails I want to see, let alone the ones I don't. And at some level, folks, I've got bigger work to do. If you don't see what I'm trying to accomplish here, I also find it interesting, and some would say, well, Tony, why are you about to say what you're going to say, which is, why do folks even listen to the program if it upsets you so much? So why would you chase listeners away? Well, I'm not chasing them away. They're more than welcome to listen to a show they claim to hate. I'm not going to, you know, bar them from doing that. I can't bar them from listening to the show. But for their own mental health, I might suggest they listen to something else because I, you know, really don't wish anybody ill. But I'm not going to sit and take it. There's so much truth that we need to get to, and there's so much. You know, Jeff and I were auditioning audio for the show this morning, and the stuff that's not going to make it to air wasn't because it wasn't worthy. It's because it's ridiculously false. And I'm afraid that if we play a lot of this false stuff, I really am, that there are people on the other side of the issues that will begin to, I don't know, believe some of it. And that's dangerous. I mean, that's really dangerous. In fact, we've got a caller now, and this is one of the things, the topic he wants to talk about is something we decided not to do this morning, and we'll explain it here in just a moment. 888-552-3595. My good friend Tom in Detroit joins us on First Shift. Tom, thanks again for inviting me out to speak to the group yesterday.
And thanks for coming. You know, I heard a little snippet or bite on the news the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, where Romney was talking about being the quote-unquote education president. And also talking about where the unemployment rate would be. I think he said somewhere about 6.4, you know, by the end of his first term.
Oh, no. Tom, it gets better than that. Six okay. Or under six.
Okay. Boy. I mean, you know, this guy must be looking at rose-colored glasses. I mean, you know, when you consider the fact in terms of where he was on this auto bailout and what have you. You know, I just think that, you know, he's on the end of a very weak board right there.
Well, it's ridiculous. And again, let me tell you that we were listening to some audio this morning, Tom, from Mitt Romney, and he was talking mm-hmm. about education. He was actually speaking to a group of Latinos, and it was an economic summit, which is interesting because he didn't mention the economy at all. He talked about education at an economic summit, which should say something about Mitt Romney in and of itself, Tom. But he was talking about special needs children and how for the first time in history, he's going to give the parents of these kids a choice of where to send their kids to school. Now, I have no idea what he means by that. I don't know if he means that he's going to force charter schools. And yeah. I do mean force because we know they don't have to take special needs children.
That's right.
So I would guess if I'm a Republican and my candidate says something about I'm going to give the parents of special needs kids choices, that would make me real nervous, wouldn't it?
Well, you would think so because, I mean, you know, there's that word choices. I mean, you know, like you didn't define what these choices are.
Well, that's the other problem, Tom, is that Mitt Romney never seems to define anything.
Well, except himself, you know, he's one of these fair weather people, sticks some wet, you know, licks his finger and sticks it in the air and see which way the wind's blowing.
And
sometimes,
and how well
both times with him, the wind's not blowing at all.
Yeah, and how well is that working for him?
Not real well.
You know, it's interesting, Tom, before I let you go. Mm-hmm. Watching the polling over this last week, just over the last week, Romney has gone from being up 7 points to being tied or down 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the hell's happened over the last 5 days where that's caused that reaction? And I think it's an awareness. Tom, I think that shows like mine, and there's some media out there that tell the truth. I think this is just some awareness that Mitt Romney isn't all that people would like you to believe that he is. In fact, there was a great article I read, and I'll post it to the Facebook page, but there was a great article I read the other day that said Mitt Romney in this campaign has basically thrived on not telling his story. He doesn't
yeah.
talk about himself. He doesn't talk yeah. about anything but Bain Capital and what he's going to do and how horrible President Obama is. And, Tom, in just a few minutes, we're going to play some audio where Mitt Romney talks about how he hates divisiveness. But you've got to pay attention to how he says it.
Right, right.
Because
right.
It's really interesting. Again, thank you for inviting me out last night. I really had a nice time, by the way.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, you were great. You were great because, I mean, you could, you know, with the comments from, you know, those of us who were sitting, you know, listening to you, and especially with the one young lady, I think she said she was 22.
Yes.
And kind of like just getting involved in this thing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was great, and I want to thank you again, and have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, Tom.
You bet.
All right.
Tom in Detroit once again. Tom is actually the one that invited me out to the Wayne County Black Caucus last night, and I had a great time. They gave me a membership app when I walked out, which I will be filling out and getting back to them. A great group of people. 22 years old. That one young woman he mentioned, 22 years old, in college, wants to know how to make her peers smarter. That's a great question. Politically smarter. All right, when we come back, we've got some audio to get to. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
It's a busy morning out on the road so far. Accident blocking your left two lanes. I-696 westbound before Coolidge. Also an accident blocking your left two lanes. I-94 eastbound at Van Dyke. And traffic lights not working. Mound Road at 12 Mile Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Some people complain that their town has gone to the dogs, but Bastrop, Texas has gone to the chickens, and Bastropians are proud of it. Well, most Bastropians. While other cities might boast of their historic sites or cultural offerings, the good folks of this easygoing, free-spirited community have chosen to highlight a flock of feral chickens that has lived for years on, appropriately enough, Farm Street. No one owns these roosters, hens, and chicks. They take care of themselves, eating bugs, clucking contentedly from yard to yard, and yes, crossing the road for no apparent reason. It's a quirky phenomena that fits right in with this town of delightfully quirky folks. 3 years ago, some of them got the city council to enshrine the quirkiness by designating their area the Farm Street Historical Chicken Sanctuary, a proclamation that provides protected status for the flock. Everyone smiled, the chickens clucked, and all was well. Until this spring, when Beverly Hoskins raised a ruckus in the hen house, figuratively speaking. As owner of several rental houses along Farm Street, she wants the council to consider repealing the proclamation, complaining that, quote, a lot of chicken waste was being spread by the daily promenade. The denizens of Farm Street, however, flocked to defend the fowls, asserting that wild chickens are an integral part of, quote, Bastrop culture. One lady who rents one of Hoskins' houses said of the chickens that roost in a tree in her yard, I welcome them. Another neighbor pointed out that, hey, the chickens were here first, and it is Farm Street. This is Jim Hightower saying the fate of the flock is still up in the air, but the council recently hinted at its sentiments by authorizing some banners to be placed on Farm Street, telling motorists to slow down because they're driving through a chicken sanctuary. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You have that feeling you were just born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hey, welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. You know, very briefly, before we get into some of the audio, I've got to tell you, I've been having a very difficult time lately with this the Cipriano case, where the young man killed his father and disastrously injured his mother and brother, and this Jonathan Hoffman case that just happened last week, where the grandmother killed her grandson. I think it was yesterday became known that these two young men actually knew each other and were friends. Were you aware of that, Jeff, that they knew each other and were friends?
I have only been following really the recent one with the grandmother. I didn't know anything about the Cipriano.
Let me tell you why this is has kind of captured my attention. You know I'm not into sensationalism, Jeff, and that's just not my thing. And I don't find this necessarily to be sensationalism because these are two very real and tragic cases. There's certainly no question that's true. I don't know if you remember, and of course Anthony's just 21, so he, you know, I don't know if you remember being 18 and how difficult that can be. And there's nothing easy about being 18. Now, that's not to say that there aren't 18-year-olds that are very healthy and happy and vibrant and on a path and, you know, they're fine. I'm not saying that that's not true. But that doesn't mean it's easy to be 18. It can be a very confusing time. It's a time of huge transition, especially in our current economic situation where, you know, things, there's not necessarily a simple path from point A to point B. And I don't know these young men. I do know the other thing that they shared besides a friendship and the fact that they knew each other was this legal substance that is should be made illegal. I don't know what our legislature is waiting for, called K2. You're aware of that as well, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I've read about that.
And I think it's also known as spice. And apparently when you smoke it, which is how they use it, it makes you delusional. And obviously it has some psychotropic effects that are quite disastrous because both in the Cipriano case, which we've learned over the last week or so that this K2 was played a central role before. Now, listen, it was premeditated. What he did to his family with his friend was premeditated, that we know. But they were high on K2 that night that they committed this crime, and so let that say what it was. We also found out in this Jonathan Hoffman case that he had been busted for smoking K2 and actually had to go to court over it and was sentenced, so on and so forth. And the grandmother, as we learned again yesterday, I believe, the grandmother who shot Jonathan Hoffman, her grandson, bought the gun because of the Cipriano case, which I was not aware of till yesterday either, Jeff. So this is all making a little more sense. Now, I'm saying it's making some more logical sense. I'm saying that there's no sense in all of this happening because I don't know how you make sense of any of this, but because I can't, and I don't know how to. It's just so tragic. It's so tragic for not only just both of these families, but for everybody that knows them. And you stop and think about it. This is actually happening, Jeff, 5 minutes from where we're sitting. That's the other thing that's kind of eerie for me. Literally 5 minutes from where we're at is where all this has gone down. Now, not the Hoffman case, but certainly the Cipriano case. And stop and think about, you know, that how close we are to all this happening. It's a little odd. Part of what I'm saying, and part of my confusion in all this is, folks, especially parents and grandparents, if you see that you've got a 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old young person in your life that's struggling, you suspect that there's some kind of abhorrent drug behavior, you really need to reach out to that kid in any way that you can, even if it's uncomfortable. That's the point I'm trying to make. If this K2 is as disastrous as they're saying it is, and I have no reason to believe that that is not true, and you have any reason to believe that anyone in your life is smoking this stuff, you need to get them help immediately. Because apparently, Jeff, they don't seem to be able to control themselves after smoking this stuff. Think about how dangerous that is.
Yeah, and it's because it's right now, right, completely legal. And I mean, maybe I'm connecting dots that or maybe I'm making a leap here, but they're buying that or getting that so that they don't get busted. Because basically what they, I'm assuming, maybe it's a bad assumption, that they want, you know, that they are used to or perhaps have done marijuana in the past and now are trying to find a legal alternative. And if that's the case, it's more dangerous what's legal right now than what's illegal.
Correct. Now, we're not letting anybody off the hook here. Apparently, as I was reading an article yesterday, this K2 says right on it, not for human consumption. It's supposed to be burned like an incense.
That's what it was, an incense.
Right. And it says right on there, not to be used for human consumption. And it's my understanding that in some communities, they have ordinances that they banned it. It can't even be sold in those communities. In others, they haven't dealt with it. And at the state level, they haven't dealt with it. And I'm not going to make this a political thing as I easily could. I'm just not going to do that. This is something that needs to be addressed. I mean, if there's anything that needs immediate effect, it would be a law banning this substance, period. I will say there was a great story early this week. It might have even been late last week where there was a local gas station that was selling it. And the guy that owned the gas station had no clue that this K2 stuff was as dangerous as it is. And he just happened to see something on the news and immediately called the gas station that he owned and said, you take that stuff off the shelf and you destroy it. Destroy it. I don't want you to throw it away. I want you to destroy it. Get it out of my gas station. And so they immediately did. So you got to give that gas station owner credit for having the foresight to do that. But this is obviously a serious problem. And again, I keep going back to this idea that once you smoke this stuff, you're not able to control what you do. I can't fathom what that's like. And if you don't know that you can't control what you're doing, or you don't know what that trigger is, because I don't think it's obviously happening to everybody that smokes it, because that we would know for sure. But how do you know that the next time you smoke that, Jeff, you're not going to be the one that goes and commits some kind of heinous crime?
It's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard about this K2 for a long time. It seems like for maybe almost 2 years. And now it's just now that I'm hearing that it's got the... Well, actually, no. When I first heard about it, it had psychedelic properties or something along that line is what I first heard. It is freaky to think that you might not even realize what you're doing.
Well, folks, I want to tell you, if you think that there's anybody in your life that is affected by this drug, and it is a drug, let's make no bones about that, you need to intervene in that person's life immediately. As difficult as that might be. And I got to tell you, and listen to me loud and clear. If you feel threatened by that person and you don't feel like you can intervene, then call the authorities and ask advice. They will tell you the right thing to do. And I'm hoping the right thing to do is that they'll come intervene if they can. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that we now have two sensational stories that are heartbreaking, that are ripping apart a community, two communities now. You know, you read about this Jonathan Hoffman young man. He was a genius, yet there was this other part of him, this drug-seeking part of him that is just inexcusable. How devastating that is for the family. It's so sad. It's everything that's happening there is so sad. Every time I see that 74-year-old woman in her prison orange outfit It just, my heart breaks. There's no excuse for murder. I'm not excusing what she did. At the same time, I can't fathom how afraid she was that she felt that she had to do this. And we weren't there. We weren't there. We don't know what was going on. And again, there's no justification for it. And what happens at this point is up to the legal system, and I'm not going to guess my way through that. It breaks my heart to see these two families so devastated over something that can be bought at the corner store. Think about the travesty of that. So, legislature, if anybody in the legislature is listening this morning, and that is possible, let's do something about this, please. Let's get it off the shelves. It's obviously still available, legally available, and it needs to be banned. You know, Jeff, let me just ask you this question. If you manufacture this stuff, don't you think you would have some kind of moral obligation to pull it yourself? Well, don't you think you would do that? I mean, I know I would.
No, that's tough.
Why?
Morally, you would feel that way, I suppose. But, you know, with the whole discussion of what free enterprise is going on, you've slapped your warning on there. You have intended this for a purpose other than what people are using it for. I mean, that's like, well, I don't want to use an analogy that would kind of put this in the wrong. I was going to say it's like, you know, pulling hammers because people aren't using them to pound nails. They're using them to break into cars. But Maybe that's being a little exaggerating on
that. Yeah, that one doesn't work. You're right. Anyway, we'll let it hang there, and we'll come back. When we come back, Mitt Romney, open mouth, insert, I don't know, a hammer. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. The number, 888-552-3595. Stay with us. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill its immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that is a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record world powerful on their media effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we've passed the bill where we've had a media effect. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in their Senate, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow down just a hair.
On 1310, WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, TRUPIANO.
Or call us now.
1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
We mentioned this a little earlier, so we'll go, we'll play this audio now. Mitt Romney says if he's president by the end of his first term, he will have created just a boatload of jobs. I mean, so many jobs that we won't know what to do with it. We'll be falling over each other trying to get to the next best job.
I can't possibly predict precisely what the unemployment rate will be at the end of 1 year. I can tell you that over a period of 4 years, by virtue of the policies that we put in place, we get the unemployment rate down to 6% or perhaps a little lower. Depends in part upon the rate of growth of the globe, as well as what we're seeing here in the United States. But we get the rate down quite substantially. And frankly, the key is we're going to show such job growth that there will be competition for employees again and wages. We'll see that the end of this decline. We're having the median income in America is down 10% in just the last 4 years. That's got to stop. We've got to start seeing rising wages and job growth.
And we will if you'll just leave unions alone, Republicans. That's what it's truly collective bargaining that raises median income. And I can prove that, by the way. All right. So, by the way, employees are, he meant employees, whatever. I forgot what the word is that he used, but it was an employee. And that's what he meant, though. We'll let it go. Under 5% unemployment. It's a lovely idea. And yeah, he's right. It does depend on what happens globally. And I have no reason to believe that globally things are going to get better before they get worse. And we have no control over that in the United States. But, you know, Mitt Romney probably knows something we don't. So we'll let it go. Okay. Now, my favorite quote of the day, maybe of the week, maybe of the month, on divisiveness. Get a load of this.
Dividing people and pitting one side against another produces nothing but failure and mediocrity. Unfortunately, we've seen way too much of that from this administration. And that's in part why we're facing the slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. And it's why this president and his party have failed to address the most serious problems that are facing the country. It is not time to divide. It is time to come together and remain one nation under God.
Does he really think he's going to get away with that? So that you understand, because I know the smart ones of you already got this, he's criticizing the other side for creating divisiveness, and by doing that is creating divisiveness. Everybody see that? Everybody make that connection, please? I don't get this guy. I don't know who writes his stuff, but he needs to hire a new staff. It's just bad. Oh, sure, the people in the room are applauding. That's what they're supposed to do. The sheep will applaud at anything. It's ridiculous. Let's criticize divisiveness by dividing the room. Well done, Mitt. Well done indeed, Willard. You really should be proud of what you've done there. All right, very quickly, because this is a story that needs attention. If you call EMS in the city of Detroit, chances are you may not get a response. And it's not because the people don't want to respond. It may be because, frankly, they don't even have a vehicle to get there. Yeah, they've got problems with the EMS in Detroit. It's not just about them not wanting to pay them or disrespecting them or not giving them the tools they need. In fact, it's all of the above. This is what Charlie LaDuff reports.
Who are we? EMS! What do we serve?
Detroit!
Who are we?
EMS!
You want to know how bad the Detroit ambulance system has gotten? Look at this remarkable scene. These are paramedics telling you EMS is on life support. How endangered is the public?
Oh, they're in grave danger. We've had, you look at our sign here, we got 18 trucks on the street. We had three break down last night. So you're down to 15 trucks patrolling a city of over 800,000, over a million at any given time of the day.
Don't believe what we've been telling you? Listen to these guys. Here's your ambulances, Detroit. Out of service, out of service, out of service. 200,000 miles, 195,000 miles, 146,000 miles, 155,000 miles. Out of service, out of service, out of service. These are supposed to be scrapped at 100,000. You're not safe. You safe in your home?
Not even in your home.
We need EMS services. We want them. We have to have them. It's bad out here.
Ask city council where the money's at.
It's a good idea. I'm going to go ask city council where the money's at.
How amazing. They're in there doing the budget. That's appropriate. Let's see if we can get anybody to talk to us.
The whole city is broken right now. We're trying to fix our finances, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Privatizing EMS services. I mean, for one thing, we're not collecting a fraction of what it's costing us for that service.
Private EMS is not the answer. That's a way to lose money. We generate revenue for this city.
The conditions that they work in, what they have to work with, there ain't nobody can fill these guys' shoes.
So if they do privatize EMS and you're a private paramedic and you're thinking about working in Detroit, I suggest you get a vest. Shuttlebauer, let's roll that tape.
Happy New Year, Medic Man.
You sit here and wait for a tow truck. Signing off.
Downtown, Charlie LaDuff, Fox 2 News.
Yeah, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Listen, I'm not going to pile on the city of Detroit today, but they really do need to start focusing on core services. Read an interesting article before I came in this morning that the city of Detroit's attorneys will be challenging the consent decree. Further delaying activity. Now, I reported the other day that the project manager that they were supposed to have hired by now has been given a 30-day extension. Are they anywhere close to really putting this in action? I don't have the answer to that. Those that do aren't talking. And last but not least, before we get out in this hour, Bob Ficano may have a difficult day today if the Wayne County Board of Commissioners has their way. Well, will it matter? Let's listen to this from Channel 4.
At the end of the day, regardless of what the county commissioners vote on, whether it's censure or asking Ficano to actually resign, it's either a slap on the wrist or a slap on the wrist. These type of votes do nothing in the end but show displeasure, of which there is plenty in Wayne County, over everything from the Turkeia Mullen severance scandal to the federal indictment of top Ficano aide Michael Grundy.
I think people are furious that there's just been one thing after another. You know, it started with the woman at the airport, and it's just been snowballing from there.
The Spence family here in Livonia, like so many, have been keeping up on the federal corruption probe into Wayne County. They're not amused, but realize votes like what is expected to go down at the county commission tomorrow don't really amount to a hill of beans.
There's no really legal ramifications to it that I'm aware of anyway. However, I think it may be foretelling.
Ficano has said repeatedly he has no plans on resigning even if asked. County Communications Director June West telling me tonight she's aware of a resolution asking for censure of Ficano, but since she hasn't seen it, she doesn't have a comment.
I don't think it makes a difference. I think the difference will happen on either Election Day or if the feds come down with some charges.
And we're going to leave it there. That's, of course, very true. So much ado about nothing. Listen, some great radio in the next hour. You don't want to go anywhere. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Watch out for stop-and-go traffic on I-696 westbound before Coolidge. There's an accident blocking the left two lanes. We also have an accident blocking the left two lanes, I-94 eastbound at Van Dyke. And the traffic lights are still not working, Mound Road at 12 Mile Road. I'm Tim, and that's your traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. With Facebook doing an about-face since its Friday IPO, losing 18% of its value before yesterday's uptick, there are a lot of long faces from investors who want to know what went wrong with a mega-hyped social networking company. NBC's Mark Barger.
Morgan Stanley, the lead underwriter for Facebook's IPO, says its procedures complied with regulations. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority is looking into the company's actions, and the Senate Banking Committee is said to be preparing its own review.
On Wall Street this morning, stock futures looking up. Motorists could use a little good news after months of skyrocketing gas prices. Here it is. Crude oil prices have dropped below $90. Gas prices ticking down to $3.67 for regular. And health officials in New York say the city's year-old ban on smoking in parks and beaches is working. Smoking has declined there more than 60% the past year. They call that significant progress. This is NBC News Radio. Day two of a landmark presidential election in Egypt that will define the nation's future political course after decades of authoritarian rule. NBC's Richard Engel in Cairo telling us with 13 candidates, the race is wide open.
Egypt is at a crossroads as people here for the first time choose their own future.
No candidate is expected to win an outright majority, so there'll likely be a runoff next month.
Back home, it's the economy dominating the political discussion. Mitt Romney says he would bring the unemployment rate down to 6% in 4 years. That matches the White House timetable. Right now, it's over 8%. They'd rather fight. Two women Army reservists are suing to fight. Jane Baldwin and Ellen Herring claim the military policy on women in combat violates their constitutional rights. And Los Angeles has voted to bag the plastic bag. Grocers would have to substitute paper for plastic, and consumers are encouraged to bring their own to cut down on plastic that clogs waterways and swells the landfills. Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Imagine two identical cars. One has been continuously filled with low detergent gasoline. The other with BP gasoline with Invigorate. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help it go a little farther between fill-ups than a car that continuously uses low detergent gas. Now imagine both cars driving down the highway. Which one could go a little farther? BP gasoline with Invigorate. Imagine that.
The Home Depot has a new lower price on DeWalt's 10-amp reciprocating saw, just $79. Built tough, it'll plow through the likes of lumber, metal, even rebar like butter. Plus, thanks to its four-position blade clamp, it never met an angle or a surface it didn't like. If you're looking to upgrade your workshop, step up to DeWalt's 10-amp reciprocating saw at a new lower price of just $79. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
A cornerstone of the PC universe is about to go mobile. Reports say by this fall, probably October, Microsoft will make available its entire Office suite of programs, such as Word, Excel, PowerPoint, available on iPads and Android devices. For its part, Microsoft is not confirming the reports, but images of what appear to be Office for mobile under development have been circulating. It has been maybe 15 years since Yahoo was viewed as a great trend-setting internet innovator. But now it's trying to get some of its old mojo back. The company unveiling something it's calling a search browser, designed to combine web browsing with search in one process. Yahoo Access, as it's named, is a free plugin for your mobile or desktop browser that lets you see up to 25 visual search thumbnails of web pages without leaving the page you're on. Japan's stock index finished flat today. European indexes giving up early rallies for more modest gains. S&P futures are up 7 points. NASDAQ futures up 14. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Yeah. Dr. Marie, so go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Don't mind me. I'll just sit here quietly while you drive. Hey, so how many miles you got on this baby? Got a lot, huh? I'll be quiet. You know what doesn't have six-figure mileage on it? Every Honda-certified used car. Yep, each is a well-maintained late-model Honda. Each gets a grueling 150-point inspection, too. And I'll stop talking. Hey, this is where I get out anyway. So, yeah, Honda-certified used cars. Next best thing to new. Just saying.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Here's an email Walmart got the other day.
Dear Walmart, I was introduced to Projects Made Simple. I was blown away. They come with simple steps and tools you need. My favorite project is painting, but I hadn't considered painting our front door. The video helped me gather everything I would need. Walmart offers a great selection of paint, a mecca for everything DIY. Regards, Amanda Powell, Orlando.
FYI, DIY means do it yourself. And you can too with everything you need to paint your front door, like Litton 2-in-1 Paint and Primer and Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. See.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. Really a pleasure to be with you in this hour. We have a great hour of radio. Occupy Detroit will join us at 7:50. At the bottom of this hour, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock from Rainbow Push will be with us. They've got an amazing weekend planned, and we open this hour. And it's actually an honor and a pleasure to welcome my first guest. As many of you know, just a few short weeks ago, I gave the keynote address at the United Steelworkers, Region 2 Conference in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Michael Bolton, the president of Region 2, a gracious and admirable guy. I can't say enough nice things about him. Or the people that I had a chance to meet. The U.S. Steelworkers, by the way, one of the most diverse unions and largest unions in the country today. Well, joining us now is their international president, Leo Gerard. And I've got to tell you, Mr. President, you've got a lot to be proud of this morning as your union continues to represent the workers of this country with courage and pride. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm happy to be with you, and I agree with you. I couldn't say enough good things about Mike Bolton. Mike is our Regional 2 director, and he's hardworking, dedicated, honest, sincere, caring individual, and I admire him very much, and we're lucky to have him in that position.
Yeah, and that just scratches the surface on Mike. He's just an amazing guy. I appreciate you being with us this morning to talk a little bit about both Mitt Romney and President Obama. But before we do that, I want this audience to understand, Mr. President, that you've actually been decorated for your commitment to social justice. And when I say decorated, you've been recognized throughout the world for your commitment to making sure that our civil rights, that the very basic tenets of what should be the foundation of of society are protected and honored. And toward that end, Leo Gerard, you have worked tirelessly to make sure that the workers' voices are heard, and for that we are eternally grateful.
Well, thank you very much, and it's just doing the right thing. And I've grown up in the labor movement. I started hand-building plants when I was 14 with my dad, who was a union organizer, and he always taught me that trade unions are an instrument of social and economic justice, and we need to push forward constantly. So thank you for that comment.
And my pleasure. Let's talk a little bit about something that we're going to call Romney economics. Mitt Romney claims that he's going to be the jobs president. In fact, we just played some audio from him, Leo, 10 minutes ago, where he said at the end of his first term, unemployment will be under 5%. And that's just under at the end of his first term. God forbid we get two terms out of him, what he might be able to do. Of course, he never does seem to give us how he's going to do this stuff. He just wants us to accept it is going to be what it's going to be. But we do have something we can look at, and that is his record as governor of Massachusetts and his record as a principal with Bain Capital. What does that tell us about Mitt Romney?
Well, it tells us, as you pointed out, Tony, that he doesn't know anything about job creation. While he was governor of Massachusetts, he had the second lowest job creation record in the country. By the way, now Scott Walker has been able to beat him. In Wisconsin, Scott Walker's got the lowest level of job creation in the country, but that's another matter. And at Bain Capital, he was actually pretty good at creating wealth for his stockholders, for his investors, but he was lousy at creating jobs. And in fact, there's a plant in Michigan that they got involved in, I don't know if you're aware of it, called Cambridge, an auto parts plant. At Cambridge Industries, they bought a piece in 95. They bought controlling interest in 97. And by the end of 2009, 210 workers had lost their jobs. By the beginning of 2000 and end of 2000, almost 1,000 workers had lost their jobs. Then Cambridge was put into bankruptcy, and the plant was basically wiped off the face of the earth within a two-year period of time. So, and we've all seen the commercials or the ads on AMPAD and GST, and there's a list of them all over the country where Bain Capital, led by Mitt Romney, went in and they're recognized as leveraged buyouts, as Rick Perry said, not Leo Gerard or President Obama, but Rick Perry called them vulture capitalists, that they went in, loaded the company up with debt, took huge fees, took success fees, took dividends, took all kinds of stuff out, paid themselves ungodly amounts of money, and then slapped these things into bankruptcy. Workers lost their jobs, their health care, their pensions. And, you know, God, don't let us forget what he said about Detroit. Let Detroit go bankrupt.
Well, you, certainly those of us here will never forget that. And a great many among my audience, of course, Leo, no surprise, are auto workers. And they are beyond offended by what Mitt Romney had to say. I think the only thing that offended them more, Leo Gerard, was not the fact that he just said that, but then he turned around and tried to take credit for the turnaround in the industry, which we know belongs to Barack Obama.
Exactly, and the stupidity, if I could call it that, of what he's trying to do by walking back and saying that it was his idea. What he was really proposing at the time when he said let Detroit go bankrupt was he was proposing the Bain model. If the president would have stood back and let Detroit go bankrupt, that GM, Chrysler, and eventually Ford, and all of the downstream suppliers, I'm going to give you a fact in a minute that most people wouldn't know. All the downstream suppliers would have got out of business. We'd have lost millions and millions of jobs. And what Romney doesn't comment on, and we all have to put our mind back to 2008, 2009, credit was so tight, even if you had a good job, you had a hard time borrowing money to buy a car, let alone buy an automobile company. And there was nobody that was going to step up with $80 billion. And so when the president came in with the emergency loan, he put Detroit back on its feet, and we've had over 170,000 jobs in the auto industry, including the supply chain, that have come back since President Obama did that. Let me make one point as a steel worker. We have 350,000 of our members that make something that could end up in an automobile. And I say could. Not all steel goes into automobiles, but if you lose that base, you probably lose the steel industry. Not all glass goes into an automobile, but if you lose all the glass that goes into automobiles, front windows, back windows, side windows, headlights, all of that stuff, the glass industry has a hard time. Aluminum, same thing. So you go down the line. When we talk about losing the auto industry, that would be millions of jobs. But when you lose the supply chain and then you lose the feeders to the supply chain, President Obama deserves to have a statue built for him in front of those auto plants.
You and I agree on that. There's no question. Again, my guest is Leo Gerard. He is the international president of the United Steelworkers. And it is a pleasure and an honor to have him with us. You know, it was just yesterday I was reading an article that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that under a Romney presidency and his economic plan, we would add $7 trillion in debt over the course of 4 years of Romney economics. Under President Barack Obama's economic plan for the next 4 years, we would actually eliminate $4 trillion in debt. Leo, where's the disconnect between that and what the public believes?
I think the disconnect is, Tony, and to be honest, I have to say this, I'm very concerned about the future if these guys were to get elected. A huge disconnect is that they have no allegiance to the truth whatsoever. And the outside big money, the billionaire money, the Citizens United money that's coming in secretly to all of these PACs, you take Karl Rove just announced they're spending $10 million on a series of ads that are going to make it appear that the president created the economic deficit when we know it's absolutely not true. Here's the four major, and I don't want to say these are the only ones, but the four major determinants of the debt that we're in. First and foremost, the Bush tax cut that has taken trillions out of the economy that were given to millionaires and billionaires that they didn't need and didn't ask for. The two wars that we fought off the books in Iraq and Afghanistan, and President Obama put those back on the books so people know. And last but certainly not least, the drug benefit that Bush negotiated that our seniors can get drugs paid for by Medicare and Medicaid, but we're not going to bargain for the best price. That makes the government of America the largest drug purchaser of prescription drugs in the world. But we let the drug companies set whatever price they want. If we took care of those four things, let alone we start to see the deficit come down, and the next thing's going to make the deficit come down is putting people back to work.
No, there's no question.
And Romney's plan doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't. And again, we all certainly articulate this as we work our way through the next few months, but it's important that this audience understands. And, you know, again, Leo, we try to really empower people with truth here. Now, they can disagree with that if they want, but my challenge to them is as true today as it's ever been. If you think that Leo Gerard's lying, prove him wrong. Folks, go ahead and show me some proof, and we'll go ahead and eat our words. It's just not going to happen because what we tell you is based on the reality and the facts as we know them. Leo, thank you so much for your time today. I would hope that we have a chance to visit again before the election.
Whenever you want, I'm ready and available.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for your leadership and your stewardship and helping move the economy forward. Everything that you folks do with the United Steelworkers is important work indeed. Let's take a very quick break here. When we continue, it's about you and I. Give me a call, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Trivia.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Crews are still working on clearing up that accident blocking the left two lanes, I-94 eastbound at Van Dyke. We have slow traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend, expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Truppiano.
22 minutes after the hour. I gotta tell you, you know, Jeff, it's the collective consciousness of an amazing audience. We do have an amazing audience, and even, you know, on all sides. But, Jeff, it was something that I'd never thought of. I just got an email from Ava, who's one of our listeners, who says, I work for a major electric utility in Detroit, and the suppliers are major account customers. These customers go under, and it would affect 8,000 utility employees. Unknown how this would affect service and rates to residential customers. And she's so right. Think about that. All of a sudden, you have all these suppliers that are closing down plants. All of a sudden, these utilities aren't making the kind of money they need to make from their commercial accounts. Who do you think is going to pay for that? Really interesting. Really interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And that's the thing. Everyone just thinks of the one company or one industry it's affecting. But, I mean, obviously people in Michigan have been pointing out the, you know, the services around that industry. Like, not just suppliers and the other, but, I mean, businesses, local businesses around the area.
Yeah. Before I get to the call, I want to mention we have 4 copies of the book In Defense of Teachers left. And I didn't mention it yesterday, but I only have 4 copies left. I'd like to give them away today so that I can get them out in the mail tomorrow.
So if you would like a copy of our book, In Defense of Teachers, just call, talk to Anthony, give him your address, and we will get it out. But I only have four left. Only four. So if you want a copy, I'd like to get them out today. Or give them out, give them today, or have you get them today, and then I'll send them out tomorrow. 888-552-3595 is the number you're going to call for that and anything else you want to do on the show. My friend Brooks Inova is on the other end of our line. Brooks, nice to hear from you. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you, my friend.
And back at you, Tony.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, as far as the as far as who's going to make up the difference in energy consumption, the new marijuana law is going to make up the difference with all the grow shops and the 1,000-watt high-pressure sodiums burning out there in people's basements. You've got residential customers that are now 20,000-plus a year electric.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our attorney general here in the state of Michigan doesn't like those grow shops, and he's... Yeah, they're shutting them down, so maybe that's not the answer, Brooks.
No, but it is in the Constitution. Until they put it back at us, all he's going to be able to do is nibble away at the edges, and as government loves to do, overregulate. So,
yeah, no, you're right. They do love to do that. What's on your mind this morning, pal?
Well, I was calling, I was calling regarding the statement that your last guest made regarding the Bush tax cuts. Obviously, he's still working the narrative that it was a cut for millionaires and billionaires. But the reality of that rate change was that anyone who worked and paid taxes got a tax cut. There were five brackets reduced to four, with the lowest bracket reduced by 5% on the lowest demographic of workers and taxpayers. If you were to add up all of the money that was saved by individuals who earned it by not having their withholdings as large, or their tax bill at the end of the year as large as it was before the Bush tax cuts, if you added up the three groups before you got to the millionaires and billionaires, that amount of money dwarfs the money that the millionaires and billionaires got. And the reality is that we're spending $1 billion-plus a day on interest on our debt, which could be helping our education system, helping our manufacturing base, reinforcing the value of our dollar. You know, the posturing, Tony, is very frustrating to listen to, because the posturing that guests like Mark Brewer and this steel guy and anybody from the unions that come on, promote this fallacy that if you're Republican, you're a schemer and a liar, and that you're the only one in politics calculating your way to victory. And that's just, people are smarter than that nowadays. I just think it's a stupid narrative. It's like a broken record on Skip. They really need to get a little more sophisticated about their message.
Because, Brooks, I would love for them to get more sophisticated. Unfortunately, we don't have a voting base that is more sophisticated. And I'm not talking about you. You're a smart guy. And, in fact, I don't even think you're a Republican. Aren't you more libertarian?
I would not accept a label of any party, quite honestly.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't.
I'm an American, and I believe in the founding principles that our founding fathers crafted. Because if our Constitution were taken anywhere on this planet and implemented as its intent was by the framers and the writers, now obviously, the politics at the time, they had to make some grand bargains just to get the thing established, and it took a civil war to undo the most serious transgression and shortcoming of the original writing and drafting of that document. But that's a colorblind document. That document is a document that shouldn't care if white people are a majority or a minority in our country. Because
and yet somehow it does, Brooks.
And adhered to. Well, of course now, because politics has reared its ugly head in this country over the course of the last 236 years.
Both
sides have had victories.
I want to thank you for the call. As always, I appreciate your common sense guy. Let me just deal with the only thing I really have time to deal with is the Bush tax cuts. And although there is a semblance of truth in what you said, I'm not going to deny that. I go back to the simple tenet that we should have not even thought about tax cuts as we were about to engage in two multi-trillion dollar wars, combined, of course. Now, we stop and think about the devastation to our economy as a result of both trying to pay for two wars and providing this country with a tax cut at a time where we could not afford it. I'm a Democrat. I'm going to use as an example, in the next Michigan budget, there will be a tax decrease for every single person in the state of Michigan, 0.5% decrease in our taxes. I am asking the government to keep that 0.5% and put that in the rainy day fund, or, you know, fully fund our education system again. I could go on. We need to pay taxes. And we're talking about the Michigan tax rate from 4.75 to 4.5, so that everybody understands what we're talking about here numbers-wise. We have to pay taxes for basic services. No one is going to disagree with that. No one disagrees with that. I think that we can also agree that the majority of us would rather pay the smallest amount of taxes that we possibly can. I get that. But you can't have it every way. You can't have low taxes, great services, fully funded education. You can't have all of that. So, folks, one of the realities is, if we want a better society, if we want to make sure that we provide basic tenants, like foundational tenants, like education, like garbage service, etc., we have to pay our fair share. Our fair share. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Crews are still working on clearing up that accident blocking the left two lanes, I-94 eastbound at Van Dyke. We have slow traffic, I-696 westbound between DeQuinder Road and I-75. Also, slow-moving traffic, I-75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold is endorsing Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett in the June 5th recall election against Governor Scott Walker. Feingold is campaigning with Barrett.
There is no more honest and decent person in the state of Wisconsin than Tom Barrett. It's as simple as that. He would be a wonderful governor in bringing us together and stopping this divide and conquer attitude in the state.
Feingold says Walker has a problem with the truth, and combined with his attack on working people and his ruthless divide-and-conquer tactics against Wisconsin's people, the recall is justified.
The governor chose to attack the working people of the state and the voting rights of the people of the state in a way that was unprecedented and unexpected. He did not let us know that that was his platform, and he did it in the form of a surprise attack.
Barrett is pressing Walker on the governor's criminal defense fund as a John Doe criminal investigation continues to swirl around Walker's political aides. Those aides have been charged with felonies for partisan political work on taxpayer money while Walker was Milwaukee County executive. Barrett wants Walker to release his emails pertaining to that criminal investigation and to reveal who's financing his criminal defense.
He doesn't want to answer these questions because he knows that he has to get beyond June 5th with the hope that those questions will die. They're not going to die, Governor Walker. He says he's not under investigation. He says he is not a target, yet he refuses to allow the public to see this. And he has spent tens of thousands of dollars from that legal defense fund. And he will not tell us which of his contributors are paying for his legal defense funds. If that doesn't give you leverage over a sitting governor, nothing does.
Barrett says the people of Wisconsin will see this recall through to victory.
This is all about Wisconsin values. This started as a grassroots effort of Wisconsin citizens. And that's how we're going to finish it, with Wisconsin citizens.
Slaughterhouse gang time is being challenged in court. Jesse Russell reports.
National Beef Packing Company is facing a federal lawsuit filed by workers at a liberal Kansas slaughterhouse. The workers allege the company owes unpaid wages and overtime. The suit is seeking class action status and was filed on behalf of the nearly 2,000 employees at the plant. It challenges a meat processing payment system that only compensates workers while the line is running. It echoes lawsuits filed last year against Creekstone Farms in Kansas and Farmland Foods in Illinois. The suit alleges that workers aren't compensated for time spent waiting in line for equipment, the time it takes to put on and remove gear, and the time it takes to walk to and from the production line. Employees may need to remove and put on gear numerous times during a shift if they take breaks for meals. The payment system is known as gang time and is used throughout the meatpacking industry.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you. And I just want to get to my next guest. I've been excited about this since Jeff told me about it a couple days ago. So let me go there. For those of you that are aware, because I've actually mentioned this on the air a few times, there is an interesting event sponsored by Rainbow Push. It's the Funeralized Democracy on Memorial Day. And with us to talk about that is the pastor, Reverend David Alexander Bullock. Pastor Bullock, by the way, has become the leading voice in the activist movement here in Southeast Michigan. His work with both the Rainbow Push Coalition and the Highland Park NAACP has become legendary in a short period of time. He is not only a mentor to many, but again, as I said, a leading voice in a movement that unfortunately knows no end. And it is my pleasure and really my honor to welcome Pastor Bullock to the show this morning. Pastor, thanks so much for being with us.
Tony, thank you so much for having us on the show this morning.
You know, you're a rock star in my world, so anytime you want on, all you need to do is give us a call, and it is yours. Couple things that we want to talk about, but first of all, let's get to this Funeralizing Democracy on Memorial Day, because those of us that have been following the fight for Public Act 4 know how critical it is that we step up and stand up for what we know is the right thing to do, in spite of what the courts may do, in spite of what the legislature may do. This is still a people's democracy, is it not, Pastor Bullock?
This is still a people's democracy, and I'm so excited about the momentum that we're building. Unfortunately, as you said, this is a fight that seems to have no end in sight, but we cannot let voting rights be suspended or suppressed in Michigan or the nation. And so on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Galilee Baptist Church in Detroit, 5251 East Outer Drive, we're going to have a mock funeral. We're going to use satire to educate, inform, and inspire people. And we're going to funeralize democracy. I'm going to have an actual casket there. There will be an actual eulogy. And we're going to tell the story of what's been going on in Michigan for about the past year and a half with respect to Public Act 4, because unfortunately, Tony, while we're fighting this fight, there are a number of people who are in the state of Michigan who have not really realized exactly how heinous and draconian Public Act 4 is. And some people are still saying, what's the big problem with emergency management? Don't we need somebody to come in and take over? And so we are trying to use art and drama and satire to really, really get the message out that this is a big issue. Democracy has been destroyed. It's been put to death. The vote has been made null and void in Michigan, and we must stand up and fight back. And then after the funeral, typically there's a repast after an actual funeral. After this funeral, we'll have an organizing meeting over food, because as you also said in the introduction, we must go beyond what's going on in the Court of Appeals. We cannot hang our hat on what's going to happen possibly in the Michigan Supreme Court. Obviously, the federal government, the Attorney General, has not really made Public Act 4 a priority or the voter integrity bills in the House of Representatives a priority. And so after the funeral, there'll be an organized meeting. And I know folks are coming in from Flint and Saginaw, from Grand Rapids and Muskegon Heights, maybe even Benton Harbor, because we've got to figure out how we can connect the family in the state. This is not a black or white thing. It's the right thing. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's a democracy and republic thing. We've got to come together and organize and figure out what our strategy is going to be to save the sanctity of the suffrage and to fight for the vote in Michigan.
Well, and Pastor Bullock, with all due respect, it may not be a Republican or Democrat thing. It may not be a conservative or a liberal thing. But let me just remind this audience that this week in the state legislature, the Republicans in the state legislature, I have put together a package of bills that would restrict access to the voting booth. Again, an assault, especially on communities of color, where they will be expected to finance something that they may not have in their pocket already. People don't understand. Most people don't understand. They can't articulate this idea that having ID to vote, and by the way, when you register to vote under penalty of perjury, you've already provided all the documentation you should need. That's not good enough for this legislature, Pastor Bullock. Not at all. They need to go one step further and suppress a community that they know the other side needs to vote. And I'm sorry, but I have to fight on this one because I know that they're doing this deliberately.
Well, you know what, Tony? I agree with you. You know, we're trying not to demonize anybody, but we do know that this is partisan politics in this season at its best. And this House and this Senate, this governor, this state treasurer, this attorney general, come from the Republican Party, the conservative side, and they are abusing their power. I mean, you talk about the bills in the House, 741 to 745, 803 to 831. I mean, not only are there these arbitrary barriers as it relates to voter registration, disenfranchising volunteer, third-party, nonprofit organizations that would register folks to vote, but then there's the whole provision of challenging ballots. We saw in 2000 in Florida with Al Gore, what happens when ballots are challenged, how judges can come in and throw out ballots. And so, yes, we need to make folks aware of both the voter suppression that's going on, that movement, and then how Public Act 4 suspends the voting. And then it does also have a racial overtone, even in terms of how Public Act 4 and emergency management is being rolled out in predominantly African-American communities, disenfranchising over 50% of the African-Americans in the state of Michigan. And so I appreciate you honing in on that so that your listeners can hear that, which is why we are doing two things on Memorial Day. One, again, dramatizing through satire. I mean, what's going on? Democracy is dead. Liberty's being lynched. Michigan really is the new Mississippi, the bastion of the states' rights movement that's disenfranchising people. But then we're going to have to organize. We've got to convene the family. We've got to come together because this is still America. And I can't believe that people all over the nation and all over the world, right, who value voting and democracy and civic capacity, you know, would not be supportive of a movement, of this movement in Michigan, if they really, really knew what was going on. And so we seek to make folks aware and engage them and get them involved because this is a critical time in the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. Let me give those give that information out again, and then we'll get this posted to the Facebook page for those of you that are otherwise engaged and can't write it down. It will take place this Monday, which is Memorial Day, May 28th at 11 a.m. at the Galilee Baptist Church at 5251 East Outer Drive in Detroit. You can just, if you don't know where that's at, go ahead and MapQuest it. You'll find it easily enough. Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, my guest. Very quickly, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I do want to talk about this this issue that has become important to the Rainbow Push Coalition, and that is violence in the city. This is something that is not being ignored by the community, and certainly this is not an issue that the community is waiting on its city leaders to respond to. In fact, Rainbow Push is responding even before the mayor of Detroit did.
That's right. You know, and I think, Tony, it's been unfortunate that the elected officials in the city of Detroit have not been a part of leading this charge, when in fact they are being disenfranchised by this public policy that we're fighting against. It's unfortunate that they have been wheeling and dealing and negotiating, right? And the way the consent of
agreement fiasco. I mean, you know, in the wake of a petition drive, city council sold out all of those folks who signed those petitions, right? Sold out all of those folks, right, who were part of the statewide Stand Up for Democracy movement. I mean, it was a very, very sad day in Detroit. And then on the heels of that, you know, they're still reporting that bankruptcy might loom for Detroit. They're still reporting that the consent agreement, now that it has been put in place, there's been all this controversy about whether or not the mayor was for or against and whether or not it's going to actually work. And so we call on our elected officials, both in Detroit and around the state, to not be scared, to not be fearful. I mean, to stand on principle. I mean, this is about democracy and voting. I mean, we fought too long. The civil rights movement fundamentally was about inclusion in the voting process, and inclusion in the housing process, inclusion in the American opportunity, the American dream. And so we should all be able to stand on principle and say no one should be disenfranchised because of class, creed, or color from participating in the franchise and exercising the right to vote. And that's why Rainbow Push is taking this lead. State Conference, NAACP, Stand Up for Democracy, Michigan Forward, and others in the labor community, the Occupy movement, because we understand that voting is so fundamental to the fabric of the United States of America. We cannot allow Michigan to become ground zero, to become the place where the pilot program disenfranchising the middle class and the working class began in America. We've got to stop it here, so that this cancer doesn't spread around the nation.
Well, there's no question. I don't know that anybody's doing more important work, Pastor Bullock, than Rainbow Push is doing right now. And I will say this and give you a couple seconds to respond. In the year 2012, that we are fighting racism at such an obvious level. There's not even an attempt to hide the overt racism that's going on throughout the state of Michigan right now, and perhaps throughout the country. But we're not going to get offended by it. We're just going to push back.
That's right. That's right. We're not going to get offended by it, but we're not going to turn our face from it. We've got to fight it. And that's why I appreciate your show, your leadership, and others, because, in fact, this fight against Public Act 4 and voter suppression, you know, has been a fight that has included African-Americans and other Americans from other ethnic groups. It's been a rainbow coalition, as you will, or a big tent response. And we cannot let the gains and the progress that we've made in this country and in this state be rolled back by people who have a narrow view and want to keep us locked in the ethnic silos and fighting each other. When we come together and fight back, we win, and we're going to win this one.
Absolutely. Well, we are just out of time for this morning. Again, we'll get all the information on the Facebook page. And Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, thank you so much for your time. And I said it earlier, and I mean it. Anytime you need us, consider us a partner in getting your message out.
Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's take a quick break here. Occupy Detroit when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it's a pleasure for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Joining me is my partner in crime in so many ways. Bartosz Kumar is at the other end of our line. And Bart, I got to tell you, brother, the work that you have been doing to provide us just amazing guests, especially when you were at the national training for the National People's Action Conference earlier this week was really exceptional coverage, so I want to thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having us on. It was an incredible time. We got some good work done. Thanks so much.
We want to talk this morning about the federal mortgage servicing settlement, and I'm going to let you give some background to this because it's not something we've talked about in a while. The reason, Bart, we haven't talked about in a while is there's really not been a lot of public information available until today. So why don't you go ahead and share with my audience what it is we're going to get to?
Yeah. So earlier this year, robo-signing task force, which is a task force of attorneys general, entered into a settlement with the biggest banks. And under the terms of the settlement, the banks are required to pay $25 billion in monetary sanctions and relief. So up until now, we didn't really know a whole lot about the details of where that $25 billion was supposed to go, how it was going to be spent, who was going to be in charge of spending it, who was going to get help. So now, recently, the Michigan Attorney General's Office has released some information about how this process is going to work. So a couple of things about the settlement are okay. A lot of them are very, very bad. And it makes it all the more important that we keep the pressure on the Attorney's General Task Force working on the next settlement, which is around securities fraud, to make sure that settlement doesn't let the banks off the hook the way this one did.
And in what way? Can you maybe give us some examples of how this led banks off the hook?
Yeah, the big one is it's too small. It's $25 billion. It should be several times that. For example, the program, Michigan is going to get about $800 million out of that $25 billion. And that money is going to get spent in a couple of different ways, one of which is going to be to provide some refinancing for folks who still have their homes. Some of it is going to be as relief for people who've lost their homes. For people who have lost their homes to foreclosure, the payment might be somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 if they are eligible.
So a guy like Dave Kirby may see a small percentage of that money.
He may. And that's if he was foreclosed then between 2008 and 2011, which he was, and meets some other criteria as well. And the money won't be distributed immediately. The settlement will be executed over the next 3 years. So some of the people who need the money the most right now aren't even going to see it for another 3 years.
Well, that's problematic in and of itself.
Now, on the upside, the banks were not let off the hook for criminal charges. So people can still be prosecuted for their role in crashing the economy and security fraud and all those things. And the other thing is the settlement only covered robo-signing. And the securities fraud settlement is still being negotiated. So this is the time to keep the pressure on our attorney general and make sure that they don't let the banks off the hook again. And instead of getting a $25 billion settlement, we see a much, much, much bigger settlement, somewhere in the range of $300 billion.
And Bard, so that people understand, and so that I know that I'm understanding this correctly as well, banks profited to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars illegally by virtue of different delivery systems, or I should say takeaway systems, where they were either taking homes illegally, and the robo-signing thing is something we've covered extensively on this program, or there were other factors that were involved in that. So it's not like the banks didn't get theirs. They did. They profited to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars. And they really haven't had to. Deal with the reality of that, because we know that much of what they did was illegal.
Absolutely. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been. I mean, they still made up like bandits. A $25 billion settlement is nothing for them. I mean, I think in their eyes, they got a great deal. They stole a bunch of people's homes. They made a huge profit, and then they paid a little bit of it back, or they're going to pay a little bit of it back in the form of some modest settlement of $25 billion. But again, we can, you know, there's still this opportunity to put the pressure on the AGs negotiating this next settlement and make the banks actually pay. And here's the other thing. Settlement, major principal reduction is going to be a really effective tool in stabilizing the housing market, because it's going to allow people to build equity in their homes. I mean, if you bought a home for $140,000 10 years ago and now your home is worth $50,000, getting principal reduction somewhere to the tune of where your home was valued right now is actually going to allow you to build some equity in it.
Gee, that would be refreshing.
And that home will make sense.
Well, you know, listen, and we're almost out of time, but Bard, you know, that's of course the reason people buy their homes. It provides something for them in retirement. That's no longer true. It's no longer true. We no longer, in fact, we work for our homes. Our homes are not working for us anymore. Bart, have a great holiday weekend. We appreciate everything you do, and thanks for enlightening us on this as well.
Thank you, Tony, and you too.
All right, brother. A quick break here. Kevin Moore, president of local Teamsters 299. When we continue, stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
An accident blocking your left lane, I-94 westbound after E-Course Road. Stop and go traffic backed up to South Beach Daily Road. We have slow moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And also slow traffic, I-275 southbound between 8 Mile Road and M-14. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Klishevsky. Big questions swirling around Facebook's IPO and whether the company and its underwriters were completely honest with investors. Three lawsuits claim key information was selectively disclosed only to major shareholders. NBC's Tom Costello.
All of this comes on the heels of the 2008 financial crisis. Now the Senate Banking Committee is looking at the Facebook IPO as Congress considers tougher regulations on the financial sector.
A major facelift for tech giant Hewlett-Packard. The struggling computer company is slashing 27,000 jobs by 2014. That's 8% of the workforce. Seven people have been injured in a fire aboard a nuclear submarine at the Kittery, Maine Naval Shipyard. The yard says the USS Miami's nuclear reactor was not damaged. And just in case you need another reason to be extra careful on the highways this weekend, a new study says Memorial Day is a peak time from running red lights. The number of red light violations 27% higher than on a normal weekend. This is NBC News Radio. A cold case back in the news in New York. Police say a person who has implicated himself in the 1979 disappearance of Aiton Pates is in custody. NBC's Jonathan Dienst.
Investigators say the man had lived and worked in Aiton Soho neighborhood back in 1979, the same time that seven-year-old disappeared on his way to school.
Young Aiton was the first missing person to appear on milk cartons. The government is cracking down on food stamp recipients who illegally sell their benefit cards for cash. USDA proposing new rules that would give states more power to investigate those who claim to have lost their cards. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a higher open. And a long commute not only takes hours out of the day, a new study says it can take years off your life. Researchers say people who spend hours in traffic tend to weigh more, get less exercise, and have higher blood pressure, increasing the risk of heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Klishevsky, NBC News Radio.
Hey, Flo.
Yeah?
Let's wrap up this leaf blowing, and then we can finish pruning the shrubs up front.
Already done. Hey, one question.
Yep.
Just hypothetically, if the shrubs were pruned to look like cartoon animals, that would be a good thing, right? Hypothetically?
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Right now at the Home Depot, get 12, 18, or 24 months of special financing. The larger your project, the longer you have to pay it off. So whether it's a new deck, a new dishwasher, or a whole new kitchen, it just got a whole lot more doable. All because you got special financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 30th, U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and exclusions apply. See store for details.
The home of the blue box is running low on black ink. This morning, Tiffany is reporting a smaller than expected profit for last quarter.
as sales in the U.S. and elsewhere in the Americas weakened unexpectedly. The company also cutting its profit forecast for the year. And not surprisingly, traders are cutting Tiffany's stock price down 8% in pre-market trading. European stock indexes giving up early rallies for more modest gains after reports showed manufacturing activity slowing across much of the continent. Insight on U.S. manufacturing is coming up in the coming hour as the government releases its April measure of durable goods orders. Also, we get the latest measure of jobless claim filings. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 5 points, NASDAQ futures up 10, Dow futures up 38. A juggernaut of old technology, if we can call PCs old technology, is coming to the newer mobile universe. Reports say Microsoft Office will be made available for Apple and Android mobile devices this fall. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Dr. Marino, go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor. Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
Don't mind me. I'll just sit here quietly while you drive. Hey, so how many miles you got on this baby? Got a lot, huh? I'll be quiet. You know what doesn't have six-figure mileage on it? Every Honda-certified used car. Yeah, Beach is a well-maintained late-model Honda. Each gets a grueling 150-point inspection, too. And I'll stop talking. Hey, this is where I get out anyway. So, yeah, Honda-certified used cars. Next best thing to new. Just saying.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
And second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Here's an email Walmart got the other day.
Dear Walmart, I was introduced to Projects Made Simple. I was blown away. They come with simple steps and tools you need. My favorite project is painting, but I hadn't considered painting our front door. The video helped me gather everything I would need. Walmart offers a great selection of paint, a mecca for everything DIY. Regards, Amanda Powell, Orlando.
FYI, DIY means do it yourself. And you can too with everything you need to paint your front door, like Litton 2-in-1 Paint Primer and Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. See?
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. Just after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, the 24th day of May 2012. Because we won't be here tomorrow, I want to wish my wife a happy birthday tomorrow. So that's that. Got that out of the way. And I don't mean that in a begrudging way, of course. But happy birthday to my dear wife. And we've got a nice weekend planned. So we'll make sure we take good care of her, I promise. Wow. Anyway, we move on. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. A little later on, we're going to break down. Rachel Maddow did this great piece on Karl Rove's little super PAC ad that's out, a $10 million TV buy. And I think after you hear what Rachel Maddow has to say about it, you'll wonder why they even bothered. Well, we'll tell you why they bothered, but we'll get to that in just a bit. And, of course, we need to do the most important thing we're going to do today, and that's talk to my good friend Kevin Moore. So give me an intro, and let's get going.
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299.
A labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is
continuously attacking working class families, not just union families, working class families. Middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man, Kevin Moore.
And joining us now is my brother, Kevin Moore. Although he's live in Washington, D.C. this morning, a pleasure to have him on the phone. We'll take him any way we can get him. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
I'm hoping that you're going to get home for the holiday weekend at least.
Yes, I will be home. I'm leaving today. I had the pleasure to be invited to Vice President Joe Biden's house yesterday for kind of a labor summit with quite a few unions in America. And it was a great evening, great conversation, and that man gets it.
Yeah, he absolutely does. In fact, we still play a promo when he spoke at the Teamsters convention in Las Vegas. This had to be, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, Kevin.
Yeah.
We still play that promo because he does get it. He understands what this fight's all about, as do you. I got to tell you, before we go on, a funny story. I get an email yesterday from a guy that identifies himself as a fan of yours. He's a fan of you and International President Hoffa. And so he writes me this long email to basically say to me, hey, is there any chance you can get Kevin Moore on more often? And I sent it to Donna, so I'm sure Donna will show it to you when you come into the office next week. But I just got a kick out of that. So, Dan, if you're listening this morning, this is what you wanted. This is what you got. Kevin Moore is with us. Hey, Kevin, one of the things that you wanted to talk about today is an important conversation. In fact, you have referenced a poll that was out there that shows that President Obama is leading by 25 points. And that's a dangerous, dangerous poll to even talk about.
You know, Tony, I'm glad you brought that up. It was one of the things that I had the pleasure to talk to the vice president about. And it's coming out of their campaign, a coordinated campaign. We meet in Michigan on a biweekly with all the unions at the big table and discuss what's going on in Michigan, like the POJ and everything else. And they're throwing things back at us that we got anywhere from a 19 to 25-point lead in Michigan. And everything that we're showing and polling, and I'm out talking to my members and addressing them constantly, and our polls are showing it's like a 4 to 5% lead, which is, you know, this is a battleground state, and you know how coordinated campaigns run. If they feel that we're so far ahead, they're not going to be here. And you know what? And I told this to Vice President Biden, I said, you know, you folks got to be in Michigan. You have to be out there in the forefront with the families in Michigan that are getting decimated. And, you know, I think these pollsters are, you know, in Never Never Land somewhere. Our polls don't show any of that.
No, they don't. And certainly as I'm out in the community as well, out last night, in fact, giving a speech and connecting to real people with real problems, Kevin, that are still struggling to get through in this economy, that have been handcuffed at both the federal level by what Congress more hasn't done than what they have, sadly enough, Kevin. But we do need to be very, very careful that we don't look at polling numbers, especially this far out, and make any decisions that could be a disaster to this president and vice president. In fact, all the ticket down, Kevin. If we start believing that things are so comfortably safe here in Michigan, a lot of money stays away, and frankly, a lot of opportunity stays away as well.
You know, and I'll use my reference, Tony, for all the years that I've run and won elections. I've always stayed away from polling for me. I've always ran every election I've ever ran successfully and won, thank God, but I've ran them all like I'm dead last, like I'm losing by 20. And if we start getting into that mindset that we're so far up and they're a shoe in here, that's destined for disaster.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there's no question that's true. Well, you know, it's interesting, Kevin, because especially as we look at the work that we have to do, you mentioned POJ, which is Protect Our Jobs, for those that don't know what we're talking about. And that is that, and you talked about it quite eloquently a few weeks back here on the show, Kevin, but, you know, how important it is that we have a constitutionally protected framework in place that makes sure, and even in our opening for you, you talk about this is something that is going to protect all working families, not just union families. And as we've had this discussion now repeatedly on the show, I want people to understand, although it was organized labor that stepped up to organize this, this is something that we all benefit from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what political party you belong to. This idea that we can protect democracy in the workplace is something that we should hold quite dear.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Tony, I'm glad you brought it up because we have to continue to educate the citizens of Michigan. It isn't a just a union issue. This is an issue that's going to protect, you know, you have children, I have children. It's going to protect your children, my children, hopefully our grandchildren. I mean, we have to be the bastions at the gate to protect the future middle-class workers of Michigan. And it is not a union fight. It's a middle-class family fight in Michigan. And I hope and pray that the energy that we got going now continues, and we're on a great track for getting our quota for our petitions, but then it's going to be an education process to the citizens of Michigan, because so many of them and so many of our union families don't understand it, and so the education process comes next, and then hopefully we can ride that train and ride up through the presidential election. So this is, and I say this, and people think that I say it every election time, but it was a pleasure to hear Vice President Biden say it last night. This is the most important election of my lifetime.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because when I gave that speech last night, I said the same thing. So it's so ironic, but I did that. I said, you know, every election we are told that this is the most important election of your life, but this one happens to actually be true, because especially at what we've seen at the state level. But there's no question the way this Congress has treated this president, Kevin. If we don't do something to change the makeup of our political infrastructure, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? And reference that back to state levels. Everything is aligning. The stars are aligning for them, the attack on the working families, the Congress in Washington, our state house in Michigan. I mean, every branch of this government is locked down in gridiron, where everything is just an attack on a working family, and do everything in their power to let corporate structure in America and corporate greed continue on, and then talk about wanting to bring our economy back. That's a bunch of hogwash.
Oh, there's no question that's true, and it's interesting, especially now. And I have to tell you, as I've really reached out, especially to retired union folks, and I've talked to a lot of them in the last 6 months especially, but certainly the last year, but the last 6 months, a lot of retired union people, who, by the way, are finally beginning to feel like the active current union membership is stepping up to support them. And the reason that I bring this up, Kevin, is that there's sometimes a disconnect, and you know this, you have retirees. They feel like there's a disconnect once they leave the ranks of active labor, that they're not as supported as they should be. And of course, without them, we wouldn't have the labor strength that we have to this point. And we honor that. And they are starting to feel a little bit supported. And that's because people currently in organized labor are finally becoming, now I'm not talking about leadership, I'm talking about the rank and file, are finally stepping up and talking about the issues and showing up at the rallies and making sure that their union meetings are better attended. They're getting that they need to fight back.
Oh, absolutely. And we are really trying to energize the retirement base, the retirees. I mean, you look back at my father's 84 years old and still alive, thank God. And he's went through all the wars to organize labor. And them men and women have fought the struggles. Well, guess what? We need them back, standing at the gates with us now and sharing their knowledge and their experience and be a part of it. You know, they say retirees, well, you know, they don't feel that we care about them. But, you know, it's a two-way street, Tony. You know, they're retired. They have a wealth of knowledge. Sometimes they need to get off that couch and get actively involved.
Absolutely. Kevin, hold that thought. We need to take a break here. We'll come back and pick it up right from there, and we continue. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is my guest. If you have a question or comment, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break on 1310 WDTW and be right back.
For First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, that is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
An accident blocking your left lane, I-94 westbound after E-Course Road. Stop-and-go traffic backed up to South Beach Daily Road. We have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And also slow traffic, I-275 southbound between 8 Mile Road and M-14. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend, expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Joining us now is Susan Demas.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, is this a decision of conscience? People thinking of all? I get that, but it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday, and he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to his staff who are now out of the job, or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very brave and political move.
On 1310
WDT, First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest again, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. You know, we're talking, Kevin, before the break about the increasingly important role that retirees play in the future of our unions, certainly in the future of our elections. In fact, when I go speak to retiree groups, the one thing I tell them that they can definitively do, it's because they do it so well, which is vote. Retirees do vote, Kevin, And we need them to continue to take their net and make it as wide as they possibly can and get as many people to vote as they possibly can, because it is still the one thing that we have, no matter how much money you make, no matter what color of your skin is, the one thing we do have is that one vote, and we need to use it wisely.
Yeah, no matter how much money they have, they can't take your voting power away.
As much as they are trying here in the state of Michigan, you're right, they can't. So we do need to be mindful of that. You know, it's interesting. We talked a couple weeks ago, Kevin, about precinct delegates and how many precinct delegates are union men and women. And there's a profound reason for that. It's because smart unions get their rank-and-file membership active in politics. Don't you think it's time, Kevin, that we start seeking out more candidates that have union backgrounds?
Yeah, absolutely. I know our union, and I know UAW, UFCW canvassed their membership for people that are actively involved in their community, whether it's a township treasurer or city council. We actively support any Teamster member that is actively involved in their community and wants to get involved. We engage them, we support them, and we help them raise money to their campaign and try to get them in civil government and in positions like that. I think we owe it to our unions and the citizens to have people that understand working-class families and want to fight for working-class families.
Oh, it's clear, and certainly we can easily articulate this and demonstrate what's happened here in the state of Michigan since the Republicans literally took over state government, Kevin. And as you're well aware, over 90 individual bills have been signed into law that are either anti-union or anti-worker. And I say anti-worker because, again, this isn't just about unions.
Oh, it has been an onslaught since January of what these host of characters has done in Lansing. I mean, it's just a complete attack on middle-class family. And they do it at the break of dawn, just like they passed right to work in Indiana. You know, the same governor told all unions for the first term that I'm not going to do right to work. I'm opposed to right to work, and I'll be damned as soon as he gets his second term. The weekend before the Super Bowl, here he is signing right to work into law. The same thing's going to happen in Michigan. They can say they're not for right to work. It's a bunch of bullshit. There, as soon as he gets an opportunity, if they put it before his desk, he'll be signing right to work, and that's why the POJ, Protect Our Jobs, is the most important thing we can do in Michigan with every citizen in Michigan.
No, the reality of that is just out there. It's been kind of fascinating because anybody that opposes, let me put this a little differently. I have yet to read an opposition to Protect Our Jobs, period. I have not read one article, one op-ed. I haven't had any one person approach me and say, Protect Our Jobs is wrong because I don't believe that they can articulate that in a way that makes sense.
No, you know what I think they're going to do? They're going to come up with some other initiatives that they're going to try to confuse the voters because they really can't protest against to protect our jobs and to help protect middle-class people. They have no answer or disclaimer to discredit us. So they're just going to come up with another initiative to try to muddy up the water to confuse people in Michigan, because you know as well as I that once it gets on the ballot, we have to educate our folks. They have to actually go to that portion of the ballot and vote for it.
Yeah, well, again, this is just one of those things that makes sense, and it will be interesting to see. And all this will start really coming together after the August primaries when we're in that race for November. We'll see what, quote-unquote, the other side, because there is that right-to-work group in Michigan that's been scaringly quiet. I don't like how quiet they've been, Kevin. I'd rather people were much louder. At least I can gauge what they're doing that way. Let me just take you back again to last night as you're sitting with the vice president, and he's there talking to labor. Do you certainly get the impression that this administration gets how hard it is on the street right now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Vice President Biden is one of us. You know, he lost his wife when he was a young man, had two boys, commuted back and forth every evening to his home state by train to raise his family. He is a middle-class family guy. And like he said quite eloquently last night, yes, I'm living a comfortable life. I am upper middle class today, but I will never, ever, my children won't ever forget where we came from. We are middle class families. And he started talking about the, what is it, 727, the college fund that people can put money into a college fund for their children. He said middle class families can't, 727, he says, they don't even know what the hell it is. He said they don't have disposable income. They're paying their bills. They're paying their mortgage. They're putting food on the table. They don't have that. That's the one percenter club. The guy truly does get it, Tony. He speaks with passion, belief. And I think that President Obama made one fine choice of picking a man that was seasoned. Middle class families resonate to him because they believe in him. And he couldn't have picked a better vice president.
Nah, he's a real clever guy. I've always enjoyed, even, you know, the people make fun of him a lot because he misspeaks or, you know, but I don't even actually call it misspeaking. I think he says what's on his mind and people just don't know how to interpret it because he's being so honest, Kevin.
Well, I've had the pleasure to meet him 10 times in the last 4 years, and I think he's clever like a fox. He doesn't misspeak. He says what everybody else wants to hide behind, and then he just says, oops.
Yeah.
You know, he puts it out there. He's not afraid to put it out there.
Fair enough. I'll buy that assessment. That's fair enough. Well, you know, again, I'm very proud of this vice president. For people that don't know, one of his children, Bo, is an attorney general in this great country of ours, who is a fine jurist, who is one of the smartest lawyers you'd ever want to meet. He has a lot to be proud of. He's raised a family that has been both responsible and proactive, and really they are the American dream personified. So, and you're right, he's done this, although of course he is remarried to the beautiful Dr. Jill Biden. No question, our vice president is every one of us. His story is our story, Kevin.
Absolutely, and we can't forget his other son, Hunter, who is in the military protecting our freedom. So
absolutely, absolutely.
His family is at the gates of middle class and protecting of our country, and I'm damn proud that he's our vice president.
Listen, travel safely. Hopefully we'll have you in studio your next visit with us. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
I can't thank you enough, Tony, and I just hope that our listeners out there are championing your cause and speaking to their neighbors and their friends, because you are our voice, and we have to continue to build that through this Michigan economy so people understand that Tony Truppiano, First Shift, is our stopgap.
Thank you, and thank you to the Teamsters as well for supporting the program. Let's take a break. We'll come back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
An accident blocking your left lane, I-94 westbound after E-Course Road. Stop-and-go traffic backed up to South Beach Daily Road. We have slow-moving traffic, I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. And also slow traffic, I-275 southbound between 8 Mile Road and M-14. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend, expected to be sunny in the mid-80s. And it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Some people complain that their town has gone to the dogs, but Bastrop, Texas has gone to the chickens. And Bastropians are proud of it. Well, most Bastropians. While other cities might boast of their historic sites or cultural offerings, The good folks of this easygoing, free-spirited community have chosen to highlight a flock of feral chickens that has lived for years on, appropriately enough, Farm Street. No one owns these roosters, hens, and chicks. They take care of themselves, eating bugs, clucking contentedly from yard to yard, and yes, crossing the road for no apparent reason. It's a quirky phenomena that fits right in with this town of delightfully quirky folks. 3 years ago, some of them got the city council to enshrine the quirkiness by designating their area the Farm Street Historical Chicken Sanctuary, a proclamation that provides protected status for the flock. Everyone smiled, the chickens clucked, and all was well. Until this spring, when Beverly Hoskins raised a ruckus in the hen house, figuratively speaking. As owner of several rental houses along Farm Street, she wants the council to consider repealing the proclamation, complaining that, quote, a lot of chicken waste was being spread by the daily promenade. The denizens of Farm Street, however, flocked to defend the fowls, asserting that wild chickens are an integral part of, quote, Bastrop culture. One lady who rents one of Hoskins' houses said of the chickens that roost in a tree in her yard, I welcome them. Another neighbor pointed out that, hey, the chickens were here first, and it is Farm Street. This is Jim Hightower saying the fate of the flock is still up in the air, but the council recently hinted at its sentiments by authorizing some banners to be placed on Farm Street, telling motorists to slow down because they're driving through a chicken sanctuary. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, we're getting ready to wrap this day up. We got a couple more segments. If you want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. My thanks again to Kevin Moore and for all his time. It's especially difficult to do these things when you're out of town. Kevin, of course, the consummate professional, so we appreciate his time this morning. Jeff and Anthony, we have one more copy of the book to give away. Just one. I got a couple emails here, so if somebody wants a copy of the book, In Defense of Teachers, I have one left, one. So call now if you want it, and we will make sure that we get them out tomorrow. 888-552-3595. Don't send me an email. Just call Anthony or Jeff and tell them you want a copy of the book, and it's yours, I promise. Okay. Rachel Maddow decided to do something important yesterday. As many of you are aware, Karl Rove, the former turd blossom of the Bush administration, that was George Bush's nickname for him was Turd Blossom, and nothing to do with me, runs a little pack, him and a couple billionaires, and they've decided that they're going to go after President Obama. That should come as no surprise to anybody, right? Right. Okay. Well, with that said, this is what the ad sounds like.
Obama started spending like our credit cards have no limit. His health care law made health insurance even more expensive. We've had stimulus and bailouts. Obama added almost $16,000 in debt for every American. How will my kids pay that off when they can't even find jobs? Now Obama wants more spending and taxes. That won't fix things. I had so many hopes. Cutting taxes and debt and creating jobs. That's the change we need. Tell President Obama to cut the job-killing debt and support the New Majority Agenda at newmajorityagenda.org.
Oh, my God, the drama.
So you can see there at the end, see down at the bottom, it says paid for by Crossroads Grassroots Policy Strategies. Yeah, Karl Rove and, like, his three billionaires. That's supposed to be the grassroots now. This is the ad that is getting a $10 million rollout, the biggest ad of the election season so far.
I just get the biggest kick out of that audio, the actual commercial. Oh, by the way, we have no more books to give away. We gave the last one away. I just get the biggest kick out of it. Please tell President Obama to do the right thing, damn it. Yeah, right. Okay, so let's take a, you know, well, so the ad's out there, $10 million, blah, 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 blah. It's not that simple, though, as Rachel Maddow is happy to tell us. Let's start with Rachel Maddow highlighting Mitt Romney on student loans.
So if you agree with those sentiments in that ad, you are supposed to vote for Mitt Romney. Even though on student loans, what's Mitt Romney's advice on student loans? His advice on that is if for some reason you need help paying for college, frankly, you should have shopped around for a cheaper school.
I hope you shopped around and looked at, tried to find a school that has the lowest possible tuition. My best advice is find a great institution of higher learning, find one that has the right price, shop around.
Even in the latest fight in Washington over student loans, it was President Obama and the Democrats saying that the interest rates on student loans should not be allowed to double this summer. Republicans in the Senate filibustered that.
All right. I mean, that's just funny. A guy that has two Harvard degrees because he could afford it, by the way, which I guess is okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But he's saying that just because he can afford it doesn't mean you should be able to. Why should you get the best education if you can't afford it? That's what I'm hearing. All right. Well, Rachel Maddow goes on and highlights our president on student loans. Listen to the difference.
In terms of student loans, it was President Obama who doubled Pell Grants. It was President Obama who cut out the middleman, Sallie Mae, right? Cut out that middleman organization so that there wasn't random profit in the system that didn't serve students and put that money that had otherwise been going to bank profit toward more student loans. Nobody's done more on student loans to make the burden of student loans less than this administration. Mitt Romney does not believe in federal support for student loans and says, instead, find a cheaper school. Shop around. You're not going to get any help from me.
Okay. Now, it gets better from there. We're not done. Rachel Maddow says spending has leveled off under President Obama, but listening to that ad, you would think that we're in some kind of dire crisis.
And in this ad, it is Karl Rove's assertion that under President Obama, spending has gone through the roof. Unprecedented spending that started under President Obama. Factually speaking, spending has leveled off under President Obama. Spending is not skyrocketing under President Obama. Spending is flattening out under President Obama.
And as I suggested earlier when we had President of the U.S. Steelworkers on, Leo Gerard, that the Obama plan and the Romney plan do two very different things, but this is what they are.
If you do care about the national deficit, if Karl Rove's ad is working as he wants it to, and you are getting riled up about the national deficit, then you should probably hear the news from the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. The Tax Policy Center estimates that the Romney budget plan would increase the deficit by several trillion dollars over the next decade. The Obama plan, on the other hand, would cut the deficit by trillions over the same period.
Okay. Now, last but not least, folks, think about all that we just played. Think about how ridiculous it is what the Karl Rove folks are saying, because none of it's true. The good news is, if you're a Democrat, you can easily refute this. So maybe, as Rachel Maddow suggests, it's better to run against the record they're making up to the president.
You cannot shock anybody by telling them that a Karl Rove ad tells a lie. The issue here is that these assertions in this $10 million ad buy are just blatantly, at face value, shockingly dishonest to anybody who understands anything about these issues that are in this ad. But we're told that Republicans have focus grouped this ad down to the last bristle on the airbrush. They are confident that the assertions in this ad, even though shockingly false to anybody who knows the facts, they are confident that the assertions in this ad will not actually be shocking to anyone. They are confident in that because they believe that people do not know what the facts are. Are they right? If so, the number one question for the Obama reelection campaign is, why don't more people know the actual facts? And how do you run on your record when the other side has crafted an entirely new record for you? A record that they would rather run against instead of the record of what you have actually done.
Thank you, Rach. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Barbara in Wayne joins us now. Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for punching
in. What's Tony, on your... What a show this day. I mean, each day it gets harder and harder to miss any of it. Thank you for that last segment. I was wondering if you'd had an opportunity to see Frontline on PBS this week. It was 5:22.
I did not.
If you get a chance, and when you get a chance, please check it out. The first part, it was two parts. The first part was cell tower deaths, and was talking about the cell tower worker and the tremendous pressure that they're under to get the job done, less the kind of safety that should be available, and OSHA is not doing anything to really help them.
Interesting.
And they're only making like $10 an hour.
Bet you those aren't union jobs, Barbara.
No, they're not. And there was a company here in Michigan, and the guy felt really badly that he can't provide the kind of, you know, protective gear. But he said, you know, either it's lay off more workers and provide the gear, or, you know, keep them working. And the other part was $6 billion bet. And that was the story on John S. Corzine.
Uh-huh.
And the money that he was with J.P. Morgan. Well, not no, it was MF Global.
MF Global, right.
Yeah, and so they did, you know, they've been doing a series on what they call money, power, and Wall Street.
Well, the one thing we know, Barbara, for sure, is whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or anywhere in the between that spectrum, money mm-hmm. corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah,
question. Yeah. And so that's not a problem that is unique to just Republicans. Unfortunately, Democrats have that greed gene in them as well.
Right.
Sadly have that greed gene in them as well, Barbara. But I will, and thank you for your call, I will certainly look up Frontline from the 22nd and give it a watch. I'll have a little time this weekend to do that and be happy to do that. I truly would. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. If you'd like to send an email, at Tony Truppiano on Twitter. I will, again, repeat that we have given away all of the books in defense of teachers, and we will be getting them out tomorrow. So happy to do that, and thanks to all of you for requested a copy of the book, and there was a big rush at the very end there, the big race for one. But we did give it away, so we'll make sure we get this stuff in the mail. I think you're really going to enjoy the book. I know I have. You know, interestingly, I often give away like the book I get to read. This time I'm keeping the book because I really, really liked it a lot. And it's one of those things I may want to go, not may, I will want to go back and read from time to time or quote from time to time. And so I'm going to hold on to a copy of it. And somebody actually sent me an email and said to me, that's really nice that the author, you know, the author gave you those 10 books to give away. And not that Barry wouldn't have, but I bought those books and I didn't do it. And the only reason I'm telling you this is because I don't want anybody to think that we're giving away. A lot of you have written me and said that you went out and bought the book, which is wonderful. In fact, Christine Barry this morning said she went out and bought the book from Blogging for Michigan. So, that's so that you understand that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, if you'd like to join us, we've got a few minutes. Some thoughts on Memorial Day before we get out in this hour as well. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. Once again, folks, what a glorious week it's been. What a great weekend it's going to be. The weather's going to be with us. I want everybody to have an optimally good and safe holiday weekend. Let's take the break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org. www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Professor Ian Robinson, I want to welcome you to First Shift.
We haven't seen anything like this since the American Association of University Professors way back in the day formed in order to, you know, articulate and defend the idea of academic freedom. Because back in those times, if professors, faculty tried to teach courses that seriously address the interests of what we would nowadays call the 99%, they were quite likely to be fired from their university positions because the power of the business community was such that they often sat on the university boards, or they had such power in the legislatures that if it was a public university, they could arrange to, through the regents or whatever the governing body of the public university was, to have those folks fired. So we fought for, and over the years built up, a pretty strong principle of academic freedom. It got violated in the Cold War days, the McCarthy era in the 50s, but since then we haven't seen that kind of effort by legislatures and individual politicians on the right to reach in and actually, you know, changing, violating the principle of academic freedom by reaching into people's syllabus and trying to tell them what they can and can't teach on the penalty of major loss of funding.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First word. First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310WDTW with Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to get some announcements here in just a moment. We're going to go to the phones in just a second. And we'll get things wrapped up for this Thursday program. Prepping for the weekend, again, just remind you, we're going to have a best of tomorrow and Monday. So, once again, enjoy your weekend. Kwame in West Bloomfield joins us now. Kwame, a pleasure to hear from you again. And, brother, I want you to know that I've been smoke-free 6 months and 2 days.
All right. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been paying a lot of attention to all this messaging against Barack Obama by the 99%ers, or whoever they are, the 1%ers, sorry, whoever they are.
The 1%ers.
We're the 1%ers, right. And, you know, it got me to thinking about voter suppression and just the whole problem that our system of government has with voting in general. For instance, people just not voting is a huge problem. But then we have this issue of people who do vote but vote the wrong way. That group of people and the 1%ers really concern me. And the reason it concerns me is that what I'm seeing is that poor working class white people across the country, they seem to be, for whatever, they could be the Fox viewers, whoever they are, they seem to be easily manipulated by this message that Karl Rove and his crew are able to get across. And it concerns me because there's no hero for these people. There's no one to get out the message to let them know what's going wrong, how the game is really being played. I mean, African Americans, we've had Martin Luther King, we've had, you name it, Chavez, you name it. But I don't see that voice, unless it's Rachel Maddow or yourself, but on a national platform, just explaining to these people, this is what's going on. Wake up.
Well, you know, to some degree, Kwame, there are certainly others. Tom Hartman, again, heard on this station. Ed Schultz, heard on this station, are certainly a couple. Certainly Rachel Maddow, absolutely, and there are some others, but certainly not nearly enough. And I so hear what you're saying. I mean, this goes back to the perpetual question, why do people vote against their own best interest? I don't have the answer, the definitive answer to that. All I know, Kwame, is that we have to continue to fight it with truth. And as long as we do that and we do it consistently and we do it with a sense of service, not selfishness, but service, I believe that it will ultimately resonate with people. I do believe that we have changed a mind or two over the last year plus. I really do. 888-552-3595. Jim in Garden City joins us now. Jim, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Okay, you just mentioned Memorial Day, and I forgot to send notice into you a couple of weeks ago. This Monday, Memorial Day, at 11 o'clock, the Coast Guard station on Mount Elliott at the river, we have a wreath-laying ceremony for the sea service people. That's the Coast Guard, the Marines, and the Navy. It starts at 11 o'clock. And it only lasts an hour and a half or so. But if your town isn't doing something and you want to honor veterans, that's the place to go.
Absolutely. Do you know what Coast Guard cutter is at the foot of Mount Elliott now?
Oh, I see it every meeting. I go there once a month. No, I don't.
That's okay, Jim. That's okay. I'm glad that you called. Thank you, by the way, for calling. I'm glad that you called and gave us that that note, because certainly Memorial Day is a time that there will be parades. That's true. I'll come back to that very quickly. I just want to mention a few announcements before we get out of here. Upmost is because it's this weekend, Sunday. The fundraiser for Congressman John Conyers featuring Jim Hightower is going to be at Colors Detroit on Sunday. Again, the contact for that is David Green, and you're just going to send him an email at dsagreen@aol.com, and he'll get you all the information you need on attending that event. So make sure you do that. The Sierra Club, by the way, also has their last program for the summer, until the summer is over, until the fall, on Thursday, June 7th, from 6:30 to 9 at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. The title of this one is Live Raptors: What We Can Learn from Birds of Prey. That's right. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. Very quickly, before we get out of here. Memorial Day, the spirit of Memorial Day, of course, is about remembering those who have served their country. I am sometimes reminded that there are people that have served their country that were not necessarily in the military. And there are lots of ways to serve your country. As you know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But certainly, let's not, Labor Day, let's not forget that it's not just about getting a 3-day weekend. I sometimes think as we get further removed to the spirit of why we originally do something, whether that's commemorating Martin Luther King Day or Memorial Day or Labor Day or, you know, the President's Day or whatever the quote unquote day might be, that we go back to the original spirit, why it is a national holiday. There's a reason why we commemorate this stuff, and it should be a very serious reason. Now, yes, somber, of course. I'm not saying that you need to spend your day in solitude on Monday or, you know, locked in a closet crying for those lost souls. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I want you to have a great, safe, and fun-filled weekend. But certainly you can take just a moment and maybe offer a prayer or a condolence or a memory or a pat on the back to someone that might need it. I think it's important that we, again, stay connected to our past, because it is what happens to the past that builds the bridge to the future. And sometimes it's convenient to forget that. It can be difficult if you've never served in the military to kind of wrap your head around what that meant. You know, some people go through military service never knowing hardship. Others know hardship in ways that you and I can't comprehend. Is one person's service heavier than another's? Is one person's dedication to their country more important than someone else's? Well, I'll leave that for you to decide, because it's not fair for me to say one way or another if that is or is not true. But I will say this from my perspective, that as we embrace the spirit of Memorial Day, as we look at what it means to say thank you for those that came before, those that currently serve, and those that will serve in the future, that the very tenets of our freedom are protected by those who blindly follow with faith the leaders that we elect, understand the gravity of that decision, and maybe it changes what you do moving forward. That'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, enjoy your weekend. Folks, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a two-car accident blocking the left two lanes, I-96, Jeffries Freeway, eastbound at Livernois Ave. Also, we have a semi on fire. Right lane is blocked, I-96 westbound at Cedar Street. And the accident has been cleared on I-75 northbound before 11 Mile Road. However, traffic is still moving slow in that area. My name's Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 85 and mostly sunny. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 66 degrees. This weekend, expected to be sunny in the mid-80s, and it's currently 59 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WD.